Look at me. What you perceive creates an illusion of who I am.
You don't know me.
You don't know me.
These arms hold the weight of my ambition. These hands craft efficiency. I build machines that gather light and give energy to my needs. Solar panels that power to make our future green.
You don't know me.
You just see me. My fingers are on the pulse of man's quest. I build robotics to inform what's next. In these innovations lie our success.
You don't know me.
I will belong to no limits. I code, I build, I create, I make.
You don't know me.
You don't know me.
You don't know me.
But you will.
It's your girl MC. Yo, 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 it's HBO. Issa Rae all day. Keep it locked right here for the after show.
What's going on, everybody?
What's happening? I'm Madison Chase, and we are talking HBO, Insecure, Issa Rae all day, and we got some special guests in the house right now. So, I'm Madison Chase. You can find me on YouTube at One Mad Chase, on Twitter, Madison Chase Fit, and on Instagram, Madison Chase Fit. And I'm going to slay it to my co-host over here, Cortez, who's still getting his groove on right now.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back. I'm your boy, Cortez G. West. You can find me on all social media handles as Cortez G. West. And next to me, I have some beautiful, beautiful, beautiful queens in the house.
Hi, I am Paula Bryant Ellis, and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram, P. Bryant Ellis.
Hi, everybody. I'm Oriana. You can find me on Twitter at Miss Oriana Leo, Instagram at Oriana Leo. And check out my other accounts, Tilt by Oriana, all about how to be fit and fabulous.
Yeah!
Yes, fit and fabulous. Speaking of fit and fabulous, we have some amazing guests in the house. We have Sujata Day.
Oh, yeah!
Yes.
Yeah!
We're going to do the shoe cam. We're going to do a ghetto Wendy Williams shoe cam.
Hey! Yeah. Y'all remember the Reeboks?
I got my Reeboks on.
Y'all remember the Reeboks?
Yeah. Yes, Sujata, we want to know where to find you on your social media.
Yeah, I'm Sujata Day. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Sujata Day. Pretty easy.
And nice. Speaking of fabulous, with his fabulous shirt and extra special flower, Ben Corey.
I can't raise my leg up, but I'll do a foot shoe cam this way.
Yes. He is raising it.
Steven with the hand claps, audience. It's full of audience. The whole audience in here. You just can't see them. Yeah.
So
yeah.
If you're watching on YouTube, because we are streaming live, if you have a question that you want to ask our special guest, Cortez is on the YouTube making it happen. So, since this episode is called Messy As...
Fudgesicles?
Oh, sorry. Testicles, what?
Well, yeah.
Fudgesicles.
Oh,
fudgesicles.
I like it.
Get
your
I
mind
say
out
that.
Of
that. Messy AF. You messy
ass. I say flip-flop. Messiest flip-flop. Okay. But we're going to start with the messiest scene, and if you guys disagree, but the messiest scene to me was the Rite Aid scene.
Oh.
With Lawrence. Yeah. And Issa Dee, who was afraid to go home.
Buying panties.
Are we really going to be the couple that fights in Rite Aid?
Panties, right.
Like, are we really going to be the couple that fights in Rite Aid?
I know.
Like, for real.
Not Ralph's?
Mm.
No.
I mean,
it was Rite Aid.
It was Rite
Aid. Nice. Now, my other favorite part was this. Paula, what was your other favorite part of the
when she comes back and she asks for the Rite Aid card?
Lawrence Classic.
You know what, though? You get a lot of savings.
Mm-hmm. From a Rite Aid card. But you can use your phone
but
number.
But if you don't have a phone number, then it takes a while
but
to sign up.
Does she maybe not remember his phone number?
These days.
Don't
dun, dun, dun.
And it's like,
that's right. A good one.
Just when you thought she was going to come back home, she does that. She pulls that move.
And
slick
other,
move.
The yeah. other move she pulled was buying the six-pack of panties.
Yeah.
So that means she had six more days that she thought she was not going to come home. She was like.
But it's true. They weren't like sexy panties. They were granny panties.
Right. And they're cheaper by the bulk.
Yeah.
Oh.
Right.
That
was good. That's good. This is true. This
those six-packs of Hanes are comfy.
Are they? They're cotton. And cotton, I hear, is good for your hoo-ha.
Breathable.
It's breathable. It works. It works. So.
Okay.
Right. I think we've covered. The right age.
Now that's messy. Now that's messy.
Right. That's messy. Yeah, we covered it. Okay, so my other favorite scene, the office scene, Issa is talking about this project, and she talks about the my favorite part was when she talked about the what she really wanted to say, what was really in her head, which is what I probably would have said. No, I wouldn't have.
I wish she said it.
Oh, the chain gang.
Yeah. The chain gang. Yeah. I wanted her to say it, but she didn't. And so the presentation was terrible. And I think she thought if she wore the power suit, why do we think if we look good that this is going to just mesmerize everybody? Right.
But she does even say, like, I don't know, I'm just going to wing it and they won't know the difference.
Yeah,
and does. I thought that was, it was a great play in the writing as far as her standing out and nobody there understanding what is really going on at all. And they're so effing insensitive and hilarious. But the fact that she thought if she wung it, she'd be fine.
Right.
And
put then, on a nice suit. Yeah. And,
and dazzle them. They'll never know the difference. You know?
Speaking of the writing. Speaking of the writing, Ben, put us in that room.
Oh,
man. As you all were writing this stuff.
Let me introduce myself. Ben Corey Jones, at Ben the Writer, across all social medias, one of the writers on Insecure. And, like, going to work every day on Insecure was like going to, like, homecoming happy land. Like, you know, it was just, I'm around my friends who are talented, who are dope, who are funny, and we get to make this amazing, awesome TV show. And the second episode after a pilot is always challenging because, like, you know, the pilot is the thing that got the show picked up, that got, you know, HBO, like, saying, go full of steam ahead, and now we have to, like, find the whole show and, like, you know, do the second episode. And it's and we did a direct pickup. Like, she didn't go home in the pilot, so now we're addressing that here, you know. But my favorite scene or my favorite part was, like, when her boss called her out, though.
Yes. Yeah.
She was like, if you don't want to be here, you don't have to be here. And I think, like, one of the things we want to do with Issa's work story is, like, put you there as a young person, like, trying to figure it out. Like you said, like, you're going to fake it till you make it.
Yeah,
and that ain't going to fly all the time. You know, we've all been in that situation. You know, I'm going to put on a good suit and just make it look good. But we really wanted to, like, make her boss call her out on it, you know, and have her, like, backed against the wall. And then she does that, like, hilarious, like, Kenyan proverb. We're like, is that from, like, all of Kenya? Like, where's this from?
At her office.
So when you're
all the little African.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
My favorite thing is her picture with Barack Obama.
So is this whole play on, like, white people thinking they're woke? Is that what this is about?
Yeah, to a certain extent, you know. But it's like, but it's also like, it's all like this is a nonprofit, so everybody in nonprofit is like, oh, I'm woke, I'm in touch with. So I think it's like, it's yes about a racial cultural thing, but also there's certain people who think they're probably more woke than they really are. They read one book and all of a sudden they woke. But you know, but that actress plays phenomenally that character. She goes all the way
She's amazing.
Yeah.
And when you're in the room, when you guys are writing this stuff, and someone just comes up with a certain line, and it's so funny. Like, are you guys just dying laughing in the room?
I mean, I think I remember, like, day two on the job, Issa pitched, we are not going to be the black couple fighting at Rite Aid. And we laughed for, like, 30 minutes, you know. And it's one of those lines that, like, and again, like, these, you know, through editing and through, like, cuts and, like, you know how when you're on set, like, some things don't work. Yeah. That line, like, was pitched the second day, and it made it all the way through. Because it's such a great,
it's
like, line.
It's such a real line. Like, I feel like everyone can...
Right.
Like, relate. Knows that.
Totally we will not be embarrassed.
Now, we want to talk about you. Since, Ben, you did your spiel about the writing, we want to know Sujata, because Awkward Black Girl, I must have seen that series, like, three times, and I was hoping for kind of, like, another season, but now we have HBO Insecure. So tell us about your whirlwind from going from How'd You Meet Issa, how did you start Awkward Black Girl together, and then your whirlwind and how your life has changed since you've been on HBO Insecure?
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, no, that's
good. That's like, okay. It's like 5.5 years of my life. So the story with me meeting Issa was that I had decided to get on Twitter just to be on Twitter, and no one was really on Twitter at this time. It was like 5.5 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And Issa was on it, mm-hmm. and we both had like 20 followers or something. And I was like, oh, I'm going to like follow some different people who like create stuff. And then this guy, Joshua, at Film TV Diversity, he would tweet out like people to follow. And one of them was Issa, and I followed her. And then she followed me back. And 3 days later, she's like, hey, I'm looking for, this was a general tweet, I'm looking for a mixed looking girl to play my best friend. And then I wrote to her and I was like, I'm not mixed.
You could be.
You look mixed, yeah.
I'm 100% Indian. And then she was like, yeah, come on down, come to the audition. And then it was one of those things where I was like in Baldwin Hills and I thought I was going to an office, but it was her dad's house.
Oh, wow.
So I was, like, ready to drive off. I was like, this is one of those situations
casting couch.
Where, like, I don't know what's happening. Luckily, Issa actually came out on her phone. Oh. And I was like, it's a girl. Like, what can happen? So then I, like, walked up to her, and then I did the auditions. It was the audition scene where I'm, like, crazy dancing on her brother in episode 5. I don't know if you remember
yes,
that.
Yes, of course.
And then went home, like, a couple hours later, she wrote me and was like, you're in!
Oh, that's amazing. That's awesome.
Like, once a month, every weekend, we would shoot, and it was, like, super low budge. Like, everyone was just doing
those aren't always, that's the best project.
Right. Yeah. So much fun.
Right.
My favorite scene is the hallway scene.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
I love you guys in that hallway
scene. Can I just tell you, so that was the first scene I shot.
That was the first scene? Oh, yeah. That was, like, miraculous.
Yeah, and went down to Inglewood, and it was at her dad's doctor's office. Mm-hmm. And it was her brother filming, and it was just the three of us. And I was in and out in 20 minutes, and I was walking out, and I was like, what did I get myself?
And it turned out to be an amazing scene.
Look at that. That's amazing. That was your first scene.
That was my first
and
scene.
Look at this today. Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm.
You can even tell, like, all of our makeup is, like, crazy in that first season. Like, nobody, like, knew what was going. Mm-hmm. Like, I had, like, eyeshadow, like, up here. And, like, you know.
Nice. We couldn't tell. Wow. You looked amazing. Great. Like, it was a great show. Now, since Awkward Black Girl, now you're on HBO. How is the whirlwind of red carpets and now you're doing so many other things?
Yeah, it's been unbelievable. And honestly, like, it's been really emotional for me. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember sitting in the trailer for the pilot, and I was just like, what is happening?
Yeah.
Going from, like, me, her brother, and Issa in a hallway to, like, being surrounded by, like, amazing people of color behind the scenes and in front of the scenes.
Yes.
Like, that is not normal.
It's not.
I've been on other shows. I've done movies. And that is not the norm.
Right.
And it was just such a beautiful thing. Like, there was an it's actually the next episode, episode 3, where there's a bunch of kids, right?
Okay.
So we were shooting this scene at the beach with a bunch of kids, and and I just, like, was looking at the crane or something, and the kids were coming off the bus, and I start crying.
Oh,
and one of the kids looked up to me and was like, are you crying?
There's no crying in TV.
And I was like, it's the wind. It's the wind. It's
something
like
allergies.
Something about.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's that very emotional because, awesome. I mean, like, there's so many YouTube shows and performers and, you know, I'm not going to say
some
everyone.
Good content out there.
Yeah. I'm not going to say everyone on YouTube wants to get a show on a major network, but a lot of people do. And the fact that Issa started on YouTube, like you're saying, like, just very consistently always putting up content. It the hard work definitely pays off. Mm-hmm. If you know what your story is and what you want to do, like, it'll definitely happen, you know. And, like, Issa, I know when she got her show picked up, like, she texted me, like, hey, Ben, you want to come right on my show? That never happens.
Wow.
Like, it's like agents, lawyers, managers, studio execs.
Yes.
You got to go to this meeting and that meeting. And she was like, she texted me, and I was like, okay.
But that's what I love about her, as I see this journey, is how she is incorporating, you know, her passion and commitment to YouTube, and she's bringing players on from there, and she's going back, and she's reaching back and making sure that the people that were there with her in the beginning are part of this journey. And to me, that just is so amazing, because you don't see that. And that is, I have so much respect for her, because of her willingness to do that. And it's truly who she is.
Yeah, she's real.
She's definitely been like super loyal, super generous. Yeah. Like Amy Diobi, another one of the writers, she wrote on season 2 of Awkward Black Girl. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously Tristan as Thug Yoda was amazing.
Mm-hmm. No C words. No C words.
No C words. No C words. So he was baby bear boys.
Not Care Bears, but Bear Bears.
I love that.
Yeah.
And then Ricky plays Jerry the Temp at the law office, and he's hysterical.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So she's definitely like bringing back a lot of us. Yeah.
And we appreciate that.
You enjoy this
journey.
And
I think it makes you want to work harder when you know someone's loyal to you. Right. Like you'll show up, like you'll work overtime, overtime, because you know someone has your back and they're going to fight for you. So that's amazing.
Yeah.
So Ben, we're going to get back to you because I want to know your background too. Okay. So I didn't forget about you. So if I forget, hold your church finger up.
And got it. I'm good at that. I can do that.
Yeah, hold that church finger up. So the next scene that we need to talk about is the nail salon. And
I like that. That
wait,
that
can I just say that's my actual nail
salon? That's on your tweet.
Where? That's actually go to. Yeah, well, I live I live in Studio City.
Which one?
It's Nail Boutique in Studio City by all of yoga places and stuff.
Y'all owe her $5,000 for that, by the way.
And the other part is that is one of the last scenes we shot over the whole series. So all the writers came back that day, and we got our wrap gifts at that nail salon.
Oh my god!
Wow. And where is it? Nice. Where is it?
It's at like Ventura and like down Whitsett. Like Ventura and Whitsett area.
I know exactly where that is.
Yeah, that's like my hood.
7-Eleven across the street. Maybe.
There's CPK. It's like around the CPK.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. I like that we're doing that around the LA, you know.
Right.
We're getting such a diverse view of LA.
Very true.
Yeah, very true. And she talked about dating apps. And I know Tinder and what else is she
Hinge.
Saying?
Hello Cupid.
Hello Cupid. Those are real. Is the league real? Is that real?
Yeah, I'm on the league.
Shut up. Okay, we need to talk after this.
And it's crazy. And I mean, we wrote that scene because it's a 3-month waiting list. They check your LinkedIn, they check your Facebook, they feel like they do like FBI investigation on who you are.
Is the league the same as Raya? Or is that different?
League is different.
I'm on the waiting list for that one.
So what's the difference between
well, apparently the league is like a, I guess, a higher, like everyone's like executives or like has like there's
it's like an industry.
Yes.
Sort of, yeah. You don't have to be in the industry, but you have to be like a professional.
You have to get on a waiting list to meet someone that could possibly be your significant other or dater.
Get on the waiting list to be on the app.
To be able to meet someone, the proper
old dating experiences where you'd have a matchmaker. I mean, they vet you, right? Yeah, they do interviews. Sure. They find everything out they can about you before they match you with anyone. So it kind of makes sense to know that, like, whatever.
No, I know for
Raya, it's like they look at like Instagram
your followers, which is crazy because you can buy those. If you have naked pictures, you're gonna have a ton of followers.
What is it called? Thirst.
Okay, thirst. I really wanted to talk about that date with Molly though, because
we're going to get to the date with Molly, of course.
Yo.
But before we get to that, we got to give a shout out to Will Catlin because he's actually in First and I love First. So Will Catlin actually played the Hotep dude. It was talking about,
so good.
What's your favorite part of that part? You talked about the African Obama.
Oh my God, when she says, it's the discussion where she says, the guy's going to drop me because I didn't go to the beach until I was in college.
College, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I can't believe you sell Obama puzzles at the market.
And you don't judge me.
And you're going to judge me.
Yeah, that was good.
By the way, though, has anyone seen an Obama puzzle?
I have not.
I was like, he's going out of office. I want one.
I know.
Like, where are they?
Those of you in the studio right now, if you could pick up your phone and just retweet the live tweet right quick. Just go ahead and retweet that.
All right, Cortez.
Retweet that. Mm-hmm. You know, let everybody know we are on right now talking about HBO's Insecure.
Yes, we are on live and popping. Okay, so let's get to this date with Molly. First of all, that dude was cute. Good casting. Okay.
Wait, who? Which one?
The date that was...
That knew his mind.
The order of the Argentinian Malbec.
Oh, yeah.
I was rooting for him.
Yeah.
Then.
Oh, he was too perfect, though. He was too perfect.
Okay, see, I don't...
I saw a fan tweet that was like,
she was too excited.
This is too good to be true. Yes. Yeah, something's going to go down.
People were like, we were on Twitter, like, people were like mad. Like, we want people to want somebody to be with Molly. Like, we want that. You know, we want people to be invested.
I don't know. I'm liking this her whole thing, trying to get her thing fixed.
Yeah. You like that. And I like that. Surprised.
Vijay Show. What is it called?
Vijay
Show. She's like, she said everything.
She said, I'm going to do everything. Hair done, nails done.
I think that's great. Yeah. I think she's doing a little self-care. Yeah. She needs to take care of herself. But I liked the play on, you know, you never know what you're going to get on these dates. Mm-hmm. I've never
that was good.
Never used these apps, but I'm afraid of these moments. But the fact that he is absolutely perfect and then goes and does a Donald Trump, right? Yeah. Grabs her ass.
Grabs her by the pussy.
I'm glad you said it.
That was good.
I'm glad you said it. Not me. Okay, so.
Was it the grabbing part you got, she
said? No, the Donald Trump part.
I'm allowed.
You are allowed. But yeah, so. Oh, is that okay, Cortez? What's single up? Guys, are What's you up? Single?
I am, yeah. Man,
okay,
that's a dollar bill.
You obviously want to be in a relationship because you're on an app that we're going to talk about later.
Mm-hmm. On a waiting list,
I'm
to get on an
a
app.
Waiting list.
I'm on it, yeah.
You better slide left. That way. But yes, what's up?
Okay, so when she was breaking down the apps, is that what guys really think about dating apps? Do they just get on there to flip-flop?
For the most part, I mean, one of the things, when we were writing that scene, or just in the writer's room coming up with it, I personally hadn't seen people on TV show like break down the travesty that is all these apps that are out here today, or just the minefield that it is. We wanted to just basically break down and say, this is, and it's funny because every writer on the show, one of us was on every app. So we could tell you, like, I was on the league, so I can tell you, like, this is what it is. And so another writer, Natasha, was saying, like, well, this is Raya, and it's this, and this, and that. So, I mean, I think that's what's so great about the show is that this is all real. We're not, you know, and I think for the women in the writer's room, you know, we had a majority female writer's room, they did say that a lot of it is, you know, guys trying to have sex.
So did Tinder actually, who said Tinder was a sex app?
I think it's different for men and women. I think for women getting on the app, for them it is like a lot of, you know, maybe if you're guys, like it's, you know, maybe because women are just less forward over the app than men are.
Yes. Okay.
But the women in the room, they were like, hands down,
But let's just be honest. I mean, isn't that what guys are always going for anyways? It just automates the process. Is it really a surprise that they just want to flip-flop?
I don't know if it's a surprise.
I'm 6'9".
That was a good line. But there's Bumble. Have you heard of Bumble?
Yeah, Bumble, okay. Yep.
Bumble, it's a little bit better because the women have a little bit more control.
Right, the women have to, before a man can message you on that one, the women have to, like, unlock you to be able to message.
Exactly.
So, but I don't know.
I feel like Bumble's going the same way as Tinder.
Yeah, I think you're right because I haven't met maybe one guy who went hiking and didn't work. Okay. It's a hike day. Just hike and last for a second. But yeah, okay, back to the show. Back to the
show. You're not supposed to do anything physical on a first date.
Absolutely. Okay, guys. I know some guys that have slept with women on the first date and they end up getting married. So you two, what are your perspectives on if you were to sleep with a girl, flip-flop with a girl, on the first date?
Oh, I was talking about hiking. I was actually not even talking about that.
Madison.
But that's okay.
Here's the thing.
You said physical, though. You said physical.
Yeah, I meant like physical.
Well, we know someone's is not broken.
Wait a minute.
All right, next scene.
No, I am a virgin for real.
Celibate.
Right. But no, seriously. So what would your opinion be of a girl who gave it up on the first date?
I mean, my personal preference, you have to wait as long as you can. It's so hard to, like, establish emotional connections with people. Yeah. That,
especially
but
with
that's,
texting.
Yeah, yeah. It's really hard. Yeah. So, you know.
So I think that's what, me personally, I think that's what Issa and her boyfriend have is that connection. So that's why it's kind of hard for her to go back home. Yes. Mm-hmm.
But is there a connection? There was.
No, there is connection because that's, to me, I think that's, communication is very fundamental in every relationship. Mm-hmm. I just think she you just can't force it, though. Just think with Issa is like, just give me the moment.
But that's the hardest thing, I think, for a lot of people in a relationship. Mm-hmm. It's not always going to be, you know, 100% all the time. And when you hit those dry spots, a lot of times you don't know how to deal with those, right? Mm-hmm. And they linger. And then when you're in them, you don't feel like you're ever going to get out of them. Right. And that's where you see them. They're in this place of, what do we do? Mm-hmm. What do we do next?
Well, we're not really married. They're not even communicating.
But that's typical in a marriage.
Mm-hmm. They sort of plateaued at this point. Right. You know? And so I think now the show is going to depict, like, how do you get out of this plateau? Mm-hmm. What happens that? But it's an inevitability that it's gonna hit a plateau.
All relationships will. Right. If you haven't been in a plateau, you're not in a relationship that's gonna survive. That's true. I can tell you that right now.
35 years.
Yeah.
But you have to communicate.
Talk about it.
I know, right?
Issa's not talking.
No.
She's mad at him that he doesn't know exactly what she wants.
Right.
Yeah. He feels crappy about himself, right? Yes. And he's not expressing that. He totally messed up the birthday. He didn't apologize.
Yeah. It's a relationship.
It also
kind of sucks that he doesn't seem to have anyone to talk to. Like,
his friend. That was amazing.
She can go
other
to
the neighbor. I love the neighbor.
She can go to Molly and she, you know.
She's got somebody to vent.
Yeah. But don't you think that's typical for most women? Like, we talk. We're so emotional. We want to get stuff out. We want to, like, get your opinion, people that we trust. But men, y'all don't do it. You do it on the basketball court.
Yeah.
And do you even talk about relationships at all? And I think
that was our, like, the goal for episode two is because we know how we left the character of Lawrence on the first episode. So episode two is about how can we just further show what his world is and also show that he, like you just said, he tried to call the dude, his friend.
Yeah. He wanted to talk about it.
But you don't call when you know your boys are at a game at the bar. Right. It's not the best time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I mean, I think, again, the men were in the minority in the room, and so we were just like, yo, we have to give him something, and like, you know, but we try to strike this balance with all the characters to show like all their different like nuances and, you know, ups and downs. So.
Yeah, that was a great scene because I was like, man, like it makes you more.
I felt bad for
him. I'm committed to like, I want to, like, I felt sorry for him.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, he doesn't have anybody to talk to.
Yeah.
And he's trying to, you know, find his way and reach out. And I was like, it's got to be hard for guys because you guys don't really talk normally.
No.
But he wants to talk, though. And I like the fact at the end that when she came home, she finally came home and all they did was just sit on the bed and was I have an interview.
It was sweet.
Yeah, really
you're definitely rooting for them.
You are already, aren't you?
Yeah.
He is cute, isn't he?
He's got good genes,
like
girl.
Somebody. I love it.
Yeah, they have great chemistry.
They do have great chemistry.
That's a couple you want to see fight through.
You definitely want to see them pull through. Let's see. You talked about the conjugal visits.
Oh, I love that.
She was actually watching.
Mm-hmm. At Molly's.
Oh, my goodness. So I want to know.
Who
came up with the conjugal visit?
We are so happy about that. Like, because we were creating shows within our show.
Oh, my God.
On our show. So we were like, what if they were watching? So we would literally spend like a half a day like, they're watching conjugal visits. And this happened. We're like, guys, we should be writing this other show. But we got so the first episode or in this episode, like when Twitter was going off about conjugal visits, we were so happy. It's like our like little like Easter egg, you know, that you'll see in little episodes that we were just so happy that we got to create.
Brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, that was amazing, amazing. Mm-hmm. So I can't even begin to tell you how excited we are to have you here.
Yes.
And so we want to know about your background. How did you get started?
You told
us a little bit.
It's funny because before the show came, we were talking about Grey's Anatomy, and I was living in New York City. I was working on Wall Street, actually. And I was like, I would go home miserable, hating my life, and I would go home and watch television. I got obsessed with like Grey's Anatomy and like Sopranos and like all these great shows were on. And so when I was in New York, I started taking writing classes. I'm like, I don't know, whatever. Yeah. Wrote a script, and then my professor was like, you have something. It's raw and very bad, but move out to L.A., and that's what I did. And so for like I've been out here for like 10 years, like the first 5 years just like grinding, being an assistant, getting coffee, getting copies. I mean, I can make a great double-sided copy if anybody needs that.
Problem with that machine.
And then I got into ABC's writing program about 4 years ago, and then I started writing on a show for ABC. I worked with John Ridley on American Crime. I did Hand to God for Amazon. I did Insecure, and then I just finished up with Underground on WGN. Oh, nice. So, you know, it's just like it's hustling and moving and grinding and learn teaching yourself how to write, getting mentors, you know, linking up. I linked up with Issa very early on when she got to LA because I'm like, yo, what you're doing is fantastic. So me and her would always like, you know, collaborate and like read each other's scripts and that sort of thing. And, you know, it's just a process of like figuring out what your voice is and just doing it, you know.
Okay. Can you tell us about your new show that you're working on?
Yeah, so Underground, I mean, it's quite the departure from Insecure. I mean, it's about the Underground Railroad, set in 1840s, about the Underground Railroad and slavery. And it's a suspense thriller about how these slaves from the South are migrating and running for their lives up north. Okay. And, you know, we're trying to just make it less about a historical drama and more like a conspiracy thriller with, you know, because that's sort of what they were up against. Like, they were fighting for their lives, so... Right. It was a different experience when I left Insecure, but I mean, I just enjoy telling great stories and telling, you know, real and true stories, and so that's what I'm so fortunate to be able to do. But
that's really cool, because awesome. You usually don't get the chance to work in both comedy and drama.
And you have to fight to. Yeah, because they really, I mean, just like acting, like they want to pigeonhole you as to only writing one type of thing, and you have to show them you can do so many other different things.
And that's an extreme.
How do you watch television?
It's like, very hard.
When I work in production, it's like I'm looking at television. I never know, even with songs, working in music as well, I never know the chorus, I mean the verse of the song. I just know like the background and stuff like that. But when I watch television, I'm looking at who was the art department that missed the fact that when we saw her eating, she had a full plate of food.
Continuity.
And then all of a sudden, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So
it was interesting because, I mean, I try to turn my brain off because I really want to see how I feel about it first. And then I'll go back and break it down. But I actually am really good about not doing that. Like, I found myself doing that a lot, and I found myself not being able to watch anything because I'm looking at this. But at the end of the day, I think when we're in a writer's room, we have to ask ourselves, like, what do we want our audience to feel? Mm-hmm. And I think that's what I'm training my mind to do more so when I'm watching. Like, how am I feeling right now? Am I twisting in my seat? Am I laughing? Am I like, is it silent in my house? I'm just like gripped by on my couch. Like, I think those are the emotions that we're trying to hone
into. That's
a
good point, because I find now that I'm writing and directing, I am always looking for how something made me feel.
Right?
And that's because that's the experience that I want the audience to have when they're looking at my product. And so that's when, I mean, because I find myself sometimes you do want to go in and say, oh my God, I can't believe they missed that.
Yeah.
Or the camera shaking. Big one for
me too.
Shaking
me too.
Camera. And so, but now it's like, how did that make me feel?
And do you think these are real people you know, that you're watching?
That I buy into. Just like we were saying, you want to see Lawrence and Issa work this out. And that's what you want, right?
Right.
And at the beginning of that
I'm
journey,
the only one that doesn't want that, I think.
Really?
Oh! No, it's
dun, dun, dun.
I'm like, she looks good in that suit. She needs to drop his sorry. She can do so much better.
He's trying, yo.
Our room was split. Yeah. And I think that's when you've kind of done your job with like, you know, you just want people to feel how they feel based on your own experiences.
Right.
But it's funny because one day in the room, we just had a sheet of paper around the table. It was like yes or no. We all were just like split. Like, you know.
So. I wanted to do a follow-up question because I thought your question was how do you consume TV? Mm-hmm. And I'd like both of you to answer that. Do you actually watch television? Do you stream? Do you Netflix? Do you ever watch anything? Do you have time?
I don't have a TV.
We're
going to
talk about Netflix.
Okay.
I don't have a TV. I just have like internet.
Yep.
So you watch online?
So I watch online. I love
like Hulu and
not really Hulu.
Oh wow, okay.
But like Netflix and HBO Go and
Amazon Fire Stick is great.
Amazon.
And what
Prime.
About you?
I watch everything.
On cable?
I have to have the cable. Yes. I spend like $300 a month on my
cable
TV.
Cable is a man's thing, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I feel like
I said that
fancy TVs are a man's thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I agree.
And I love my TV.
Me too. Me too. I love my television.
Yep. Now we know on our dating app, it should be like, I have a TV. I love TV. Yes. I love cable.
Yes. I have a full cable package. Yeah.
let me tell you what's not good for a marriage. I tried to get rid of the TVs.
Oh, no.
I tried to convince my husband how much more intellectual we would be if we got rid of our televisions and spent more time reading.
Was like, no.
Yeah, that didn't go over well.
Uh-huh.
It was kind of like the time when I told him I was going to stop cooking meat. That didn't go over well either.
Right. Sujata, real quick, I know you're working on some projects that we talked about.
Yeah,
so tell
us
about your projects.
I'm really excited about this short film that I wrote and directed, and it's finished.
Yay!
It's called It's called Cowboy and Indian, and I play the Indian.
Yeah, of course.
And she could be a cowboy if she wanted.
Yeah. Cowgirl.
Yeah, and I'm submitting it to festivals right now.
Congratulations.
So I'm, like, super excited. Great. Yeah.
Great. So we're going to stay with you on your social media handles and follow you and keep up with both of you guys. So we're done. Unfortunately, it went by so fast. So fun. So sad. Okay.
Yeah. Time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, so definitely. I'm Madison Chase, and you've been watching BHL's after show for Insecure HBO with Issa Rae. And you can find me on YouTube at OneMadChase and Twitter at MadisonChaseFit and Instagram MadisonChaseFitness because I will get you fit.
Did y'all get that? Did y'all get all of that?
I was like, how many of those does she
have? Well, yes, man. Thank you guys for tuning in. We really, really, really appreciate it. We're going to have some amazing people coming up next week as well. So make sure you stay tuned in with us, okay? You can find me on all social media handles as well. Cortez G. West.
I am Paula Bryant Ellis, and this was amazing. It was so great to see you guys again. And you can reach me at Paula Bryant Ellis on Twitter and on Instagram.
That's Bryant with a Y.
Right? Right? And I'm Oriana Leo. You can find me on Instagram at Oriana Leo. Twitter at Miss Oriana Leo. And check out Tilt by Oriana, too.
Nice. And we want to... You guys, tell us where we can find
you. Hey, I'm Sujata Day. You can find me Twitter, Instagram, at Sujata Day. Thank you guys so much for having me. This has been so fun.
Thank you.
So
that's what we like to do.
Thank you, guys. I'm Ben Corey Jones, at Ben the Writer, everywhere.
What's your hashtag?
Writers are sexy too is my self-ascribed hashtag.
I agree.
We both agree.
Thank you. We're not all just like in the dark, just writing all day.
Glasses on and Right. Man, thank you guys for tuning in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us, info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Sipia, Instagram, at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood, redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.